Hey, listener, Zach Harper here. Underdog Fantasy, the easiest place to play fantasy sports. Also, fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. Here's how it works. The Pick'em game. Pick whether your favorite players will have a higher or lower stat total in this week's game for a chance to win big. How big, you ask? I'm so glad you asked that question, listener. You can win up to 100 times your money in a single night. Pick between 2 and 5 players, build a pick'em entry. You can also do rivals picks. You can put like Tyrese Halliburton and Jalen Brunson against each other, and whoever has more points, more assists, more rebounds, whatever you want to do, that is your rivals pick. I would maybe go with Jalen Brunson in these playoffs. By the way, in the regular season, Jalen Brunson, scoring tear, going higher on his point totals all the time. Joel Embiid, whenever he did actually play, higher on his scoring totals all the time. Victor Wembanyama, for the next 15, 20 years, here's a pro tip for you, take higher on the blocks. That's right. So you're probably wondering, how do you sign up? Oh my God, listener, you are full of good questions today. Sign up with the promo code DING, that's D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick first-time deposit offer up to $250 in bonus cash. $250, man, that's a lot. Visit underdogfantasy.com or find them in the App Store. And don't forget to register with our code DING, D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick and first-time deposit offer up to $250 in bonus cash. Must be 18 or older, 21 or older in Massachusetts, Arizona, 19 or older in Alabama and Nebraska, and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org. Arizona 1-800-NEXT-STEP. That's 1-800-639-8783. Or text NEXT STEP to 53342. New York, call the 24/7 HOPE line at 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369.
What's up, everybody? This is Aisha, aka Mrs. Jones Kicks of Anchor Souls, and I am this week's guest on the Kicks and Shit Show. Check it out.
What's good, everybody? We are back. It is your boy Jerron and your girl Gabby, episode 79 of the Kicks and Shit Show. Tried to sneak it in there because you weren't expecting it.
I like the enthusiasm, but I knew it was coming up eventually because you keep teasing the fact that you're just going to throw it in there one day. So that day had to come.
The day is actually here. I did it. It's been, what, we had like a, maybe 4 or 5 straight episodes without it? Maybe longer.
Maybe like 2 or 3, but no, it's okay.
I'm like more.
I don't know if you count me throwing it in the last one.
No. That doesn't. No. You don't. No. Any you doing it does not count. Anywho, where in the world are you today, Gabby Rosendahl?
Well, for those watching, and we encourage you guys to check out our YouTube as well, I'm going to show you something that is a delicacy of the state that I am currently in. I don't know if you can see the logo on this one.
Salted caramel chumbo cashews.
Okay, well, it says churro, not chumbo.
Oh, well, I mean, it's too far away. I can't.
I'm just messing around with you. But the important part is this Buc-ee's logo. So for those who have traveled to some of the middle states in our beautiful country that we call America, I don't think anybody words it that way, and understandably so, I am in the heart of Texas.
Oh, my God.
You know, I've been waiting to do that all day, Jerron. Yes.
You will not only have been waiting to do it all day, you were, like, rehearsing it to get yourself ready. Like, we understand.
I feel like I was pitch perfect on that one, though. I even had some state fair flavored saltwater taffy, big chew style for those. Before we were recording, I thought it would be a great idea during our 10 seconds of silence to put 2 pieces of saltwater taffy in my mouth. Clearly very impressionable based on my surroundings this week out in Houston, Texas.
Saltwater taffy and state fairs. State fairs, as you said, a microcosm of America. And yes, that is
true character study, Jerron. And maybe Beats in the Streets. Might turn into like Boots in the Scoots.
So were you at an actual Texas State Fair?
No, I mean, I feel like that was a missed opportunity, but there. Okay. Unfortunately, Texas decided to not plan any while I'm here. So it is what it is. I'm in Houston for the week, here for work, and to see some friends.
H-Town, home of, birthplace of one Beyonce Knowles.
That's right. And visitor to one G. Rosenthal. So
you got
now, Houston's interesting city, I will say. Like, Texas is a very fascinating state for a number of reasons that are way too complex to really go into in the time of the show.
Excellent,
but
excellent word choice and excellent.
I will say, Houston, it's just like a big melting pot, and there's a lot more variety.
Oh, yeah, Houston.
I know I'm being a little bit ignorant when I say things like
no,
that.
No, but Houston's like that. Houston's got, you have a nice cross-sectional melting pot in Houston.
Yeah, and let me tell you, it is very hard to find vegan restaurants down here. Your girl is not vegan, but have been traveling with some vegans. And
no
have
dice
a lot of
for them?
Guys, there's some dice. They're just limited dice, and maybe they're tiki flavored. You know, there are different themes in Houston. Like I said, variety is the spice of life, and it is also the number one seasoning next to salt and pepper on the steaks in Houston as well.
Oh my God. You're like, you come into these things like a literal house on fire. It's like, you're like, well, I have 8 million. Was that a compliment? Not really.
Yes.
You have 8 million things to say, and it's like, all right, dude, let's downshift a bit. Let's downshift.
Trot, I know the world is opening up, and I am living my best piece in the streets life.
Yes.
Still vagabond life over here while I look for apartments and continue to look for apartments. But surprising to most, I see a lot less people than you would think. So I just get really excited to see you. I love to talk about sneakers. I mean, these are like all of my favorite things, and add some State Fair flavored saltwater taffy, like mainline into my mouth after some Texas barbecue. I mean, what's not to love about that? I'm ready for the day.
Oh my God.
In the heart.
All right. Enough of that. Right. Enough
Sorry,
of that.
Sorry, guys. I'll spare you on that one. This is the last time. I'll be doing that for now.
With the wink.
Yeah. Trot, what's going on in the streets for you, though? Tell me more. What's been going on this week?
Well, what has been going on this week? You know, NBA action is fantastic. Really, you know, locked in on that. We're just past the quarterway mark of the season. So that's going, you know, gearing myself up for the holidays. You know, it's a busy time with work, projects kind of closing down. You know, I also find myself looking around, seeing if I want to, you know, you mentioned last episode, or no, 2 episodes ago that, you know, Trot, you should treat yourself and get yourself. So I'm thinking about what I, no, listen, folks, calm down. It ain't going to be them Off-White and Carolina Blue. It ain't going to be those.
Finest, Rod. You deserve the finest.
Thank you. But those prices are now, for obvious reasons we mentioned last week, are ridiculous. So it will not be those. However, keeping my eyes open, seeing what's out here, might cop another little nice pair that I've been having my eye on. Stay tuned for that. But otherwise, you know, I'm just, listen, I enjoy this time of year. I am looking forward to just some family time, a little food, a little wine, you know, just tizzing the season, you know?
Tizzing the season.
You like that? Eat drinking, and being merry. That's what, you know, that's what it is.
I love that. I think tizzing the season of L's is something that I've been talking about very frequently. I will say I've been getting more and more involved in sneaker Twitter. Shouts to y'all who follow the show.
I saw you. You put out a request today.
I feel like I always am putting out a bat signal on Twitter. And thank you for those who answer the call. I think I've reached my limit, you guys. I've taken only L's, not one W. It's also hard for me to enter in raffles because I don't necessarily know where I'm going to be, and the geotagging on the app technology right now is pretty legit.
Mm.
But, you know, I think that it's really hard just to get anything. I mean, I wanted these Golden Gals Dunks, the Lows.
Yep, I saw those.
For the ladies. Mm-hmm. I mean, the Air Max 97s were cool, and if they're still available, maybe I'll go back and cop them. But there's something about that crushed silver that is just beautiful and wasn't meant to be yet again. But c'est la vie, as they say in Paris, Texas.
Look at you, Paris, Texas. We're at it now.
Isn't there a Paris, Texas?
There is. Like, yeah, you're right on. There is 100% a Paris, Texas. Everybody knows that.
But yeah, I think just, you know, especially with all the different supply chain issues that we've talked about, the launches are getting pushed back left and right. I think, you know, resale platforms like our partners at Another Lane, the eBay's GOAT, StockX's of the world, the smaller brands, I think like they're going to have a real chance to win this holiday.
Yeah, I think you're right. You know, I was thinking about just sneakers in general and what's been going on. And I thought back to one of our guests, our good friend, Jazray Allen Lord, and, you know, and what she's always championing, which is diversity and inclusion within the sneaker business, sneaker industry, more Black people, specifically Black women, getting engaged in this business. And, you know, she was in Complex in a piece recently and talked about how, you know, a large part of the problem is where the people in the industry are looking for talent, right? And the places they're identifying talent are not diverse, i.e. design schools and places like that, where it's like, look, you're already segmenting a certain amount of the population out for people who A, can't afford it, right? And those tend to negatively impact Black and brown people, right? So I just thought, I was thinking about that, like, while combing through, and it was kind of related, combing through looking for my potential gift, because again, I was on another lane and different sites, again, helmed by two Black people, and just other avenues to look at beyond GOAT, StockX, and all that stuff.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. And I think, you know, people are very quick to judge when you see maybe the wrong or maybe not the best fit for people outwardly on campaigns. But I agree with Jazz. And I agree with you. It starts from within, right? Like people understanding not just how to cast talent internally and externally, mm-hmm. but also the narrative, right? And I think to me, that's what's really tough. Like, if I see a brand that's capitalizing, being like, I'm going to do something we're going to do a sale attached to Black History Month. I'm kind of like.
The alarm bells go off. You're a liar.
Like, and the part that's so crazy to me is so many people ideate those campaigns.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And it's all about education at the end of the day, right? Mm-hmm, where mm-hmm. that's what we're pushing for is education, both internally and externally. And I think we're starting to see a little bit of a shift in a positive way, but there's so much work that still needs to be done.
Way more work needs to be done. We're nowhere near where we need to be. But, you know, again, I was just shout out to Jazz Ray because, you know, she's out there, you know, doing the work and doing the right thing and trying to make the situation out there better and different. You know, of course, we always shout out Another Lane. Then we'll, of course, do our shoe and tell later presented by them. You know, it's just, again, we have so many of our guests that we have on this show, Gabby, talk about carving your own lane. Unfortunately, that's sometimes the route, I mean, it's not even unfortunate, but that's just the route you have to go, right? Traditional means and the avenues whereby the powers that be look, for more often than not, and for most people, is not going to happen. And not only because of the racial dynamic, but also because in general, these are just competitive jobs and there's only so many of them that exist, right? It isn't like there's a million jobs at, you know, at Nike or at wherever, right? That's just not how it goes, right? So, you know, you're going to have to, if it's something you really want and you're really committed to, you got to try to figure out, okay, what's my niche? How am I going to carve out my path to get there? And, you know, hard work. And of course you need some fortune. Don't get it twisted. Everybody needs a little bit of luck and a helping hand along the way. That's just, you can't make it without it. But that's kind of the vibe.
I totally agree. And I think, you know, one thing that we've noticed as a theme over the past year or two since we've been doing the show is from our guests, a lot of people, like, it's not an easy path. They carve out another lane because maybe the traditional lane isn't working in the traditional path. And I think a lot of people don't necessarily push through that. And I mm-hmm. think for some more than others, there's a lot more challenges in that path. Mm-hmm. But like I said, I hope the path starts to clear for more people that it should be clearing for. And I hope that people that are in position to be able to enable those types of changes and decisions start to understand and recognize that and make it a place that's more inclusive, that to me, it's like basic human stuff. And I know that is naive and ignorant for me to say. So, and I'm not trying to brush off the reality of the way that things are, but that's what I love about Jazz. And I think that her piece in Complex is so important because she really looks at the state of things today and where can we be better? And I think that's super important.
Always opportunities for us to be better, folks. Always. And as I say, you know, just in everything, just decency, right? If we can just introduce decency into so many things, that will improve so much by leaps and bounds. And again, as we said before, far, far way to go from where we are, right? But make sure you guys who are out there, you're supporting places like Another Lane, you know, and different folks who are really, you know, showcasing their love and their appreciation of the community and of the sneaker business. And, you know, and what they're trying to accomplish. It's when people are doing it for the right reasons, You can really tell, and you really see some good stuff. So shouts to all the folks out there doing good work. Stay tuned, because coming up next, we have a special guest. Speaking of, you know, more black women involved in sneaker culture, that's a little hint for who's coming up next. So stay tuned. What's up, y'all? We're back. Gabby, we are not alone. We are joined by Miss Aisha Jones. Mrs. Jones Kicks on Instagram, for those of you that don't know. She is a influencer, sneakerhead, paramedic. I mean, damn, firefighter. You do like a million things. What's good?
Nothing much. How y'all doing? I'm happy to be here.
We are happy to have you. We're all right, man. We're just, you know, we love when we have people on who have so many hats that they wear. So let's start there. Why the many hats?
I don't know. It's just, it's all of my loves. Like my job, of course, you know, it's the career that I chose, the path that I chose. It's not what I went to school for, but it's just the path that I ended up in. Mm-hmm. And so that, you know, I enjoy helping people, number mm-hmm. one. So being able to help, you know, the person at their worst, mm-hmm. on their worst day, mm-hmm. and, you know, having just a little bit to offer to them. So I enjoy my job. It is very risky. However, like I said, I just love to help people. So that's why I do that. I'm a mother of one, Paris, and she keeps me extremely busy. So that's probably my busiest task. But other than that, like sneakers is just, you know, sneakers. It's just my world. That's my hobby. Yeah. So I do have a whole bunch of other hobbies, but those are the three kind of like most important things right now.
Sneakers is the one. So when did you fall in love with sneakers?
I was a young kid. I mean, I'm talking probably teenage years. Of course, my mom bought a couple pairs of Jordans for me here and there. But it started very early for me. Yeah, very early. So probably teenage, where I was able to start buying my own. Mm-hmm. But just before that, you know, she was keeping my feet, you know, fresh to death as much as she could.
I was going to say, you know, because I know for most of our guests, they're like, oh, maybe mom bought them one pair. And then they were like, nah, you're not getting these Jordans. You're getting these off-brand whatever's over here, because ain't nobody spending that kind of money.
I had some other things, but hey, when I got my Jordans, I got my Jordans. So I was excited about that. But I never complained, and I understand why. So I know I never complained. It was all good.
So what was the first pair that you remember that she got you? The first one that you were like, "Yo, these are it."
So I had, I want to say maybe I was in about the 7th or 8th grade. I want to say I had a pair of Jumpmans. It was weird. Like I remember them, and I've seen them a couple times, but I haven't seen that exact pair anymore. But Jumpmans were popular, you know, back then. So I had a couple different colorways of the Jumpman. And then what really sticks in my head now is my senior year of high school. Now, mind you, I bought my own shoes because I was working and stuff like that. But my senior year of high school was the very first time that my mom actually camped out for a shoe. Ooh. With me and my sister. Okay. So listen, that's memorable. And it just so happened, coincidentally, it was the Cougar 11.
I mean, what are the chances? What are the chances?
So that was very memorable for me. It was cool. I did get benched though my senior year during playoffs because of that, because I broke curfew. But I was with my mom, right? Come on.
Hold up. Your coach benched you for getting basketball shoes because you are out past curfew, but you're with your mom. So, I mean, what's the, you know.
And I wore them to the game. They hated it.
So you were.
They knew I had to camp.
So listen, yeah, but at least you were fresh on the bench, though. You're like, you know what? I'm going to style out on this bench.
That bench was hot. That bench was hot.
Hey, listen, grab that water for him. Here you go. Good. Be good.
Did you guys advance in the playoffs or did you lose that game?
No, we actually advanced. And believe it or not, I had a college there that day to recruit, mm-hmm. that was recruiting and watching me. And mm-hmm. I didn't even get to play. Mm. But I ended up getting recruited anyway. Got, you know, a scholarship and everything, went to the school. So I was cool. It was all good. So everything happened. Huh?
They saw those kicks. They were like, she is not messing around. If she's going to pull up to those the day that they come out.
Yeah. Whatever the case may be, I'm happy that it happened the way that it did. Yeah. But I learned my lesson.
Well, the
rules.
The connection always for most people is most people played sports or very or adjacent to it, and then the connection yeah. after they get their shoes. So you played some college ball. So talk to us about your journey to college. Where'd you play, and what was your style of play like when you were a young baller?
So I'm gonna back up just a tad bit. Growing up, I went to a performing arts school up into the eighth grade, and the reason I left that school. Granted, I was into singing and ballet and stuff, but the reason I left is because they didn't have sports. So got to college. Now, I played street ball all the time. I was always the only girl out on the court, you know, in the hood and all of that. Okay, mm-hmm. cool. But I didn't play structured ball until ninth grade. Mm-hmm. So, you know, growing up and those coaches that recruit, they recruit those kids young. Mm-hmm. So they already know who they're going to use and, you know, who they're going to play and all of that. So I really didn't get to play a whole lot. Once I got to, you know, varsity or whatever, but I played enough and I was enough of an athlete, I guess, to, you know, to play college ball. I did go to a Division III school, majority of everything, you know, and it was a private college. So it was academic. Mm-hmm. You know, I got a lot of academic scholarships and things like that. But, you know, they do a little, you know, stuff here and there to make sure that, mm-hmm. you know, you're taken care of. But I don't know. College ball was fun for me. It was definitely a learning experience. And it was busy because I was a chemistry major and I was pre-med. So doing that, juggling the college basketball and college track, because track was my number one sport.
Okay.
So college track, basketball, you know, my chemistry degree. And then I was the director of a gospel choir. Yeah, it was crazy.
You were a superwoman.
I'm not gonna lie, it was crazy.
I love it.
But I enjoyed life. Like I just... You know, here and there, got little bits and pieces in and just enjoyed it for what it was. So college ball was great for me. I enjoyed every bit of it until I tore my ACL. And then that was it.
I feel like that,
and
that,
I did it twice.
Oh, I feel like that's the thing. That happens. Mm-hmm. It's always twice. They're like, nope, they do it the second time. It's wild, man. So
once you do one, they say you'll do the other one for sure.
Who's your game most like? Your hoops game? If you had a women's or man's player, doesn't matter who do you think your game's most like?
They used to call me Cheryl Swoops, believe it or not.
Okay.
But Allen Iverson is who I looked up to. Like, okay. I kid you not, I used to have the cornrows. I had it all. I had the high socks. You know, it's crazy. But I watched a lot of, you know, basketball or whatever. But AI, of course, you know, he was like iconic for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. Of course, Jordan is Jordan. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? He was, you know, just the GOAT. Mm-hmm. But AI, I was all about looking like that guy. Like, it was crazy. The style of play. He was a guard. I was a guard. Like, that's just how it went. So it was cool.
I like it.
You ever rock Reeboks? I have to ask, because I feel like the questions right now are having, like, a moment with colorways and different collabs and all that stuff.
I've definitely rocked. I've definitely rocked some Reeboks.
Man, no shade in that.
I was gonna say, I got the motorsport question mids like what, 6 months ago, something like that, when they dropped.
Yeah, I got the the Tiana Taylor.
Mm-hmm.
We got some Reeboks. I mean, but they are a little bulky, you know, depending on which Reeboks you're talking about. But on the court, it was cool because that's like, you know, cushion. But other than that, you probably got big calves because those shoes are heavy. I'm sorry.
No, it's good. Yeah, you're right.
I rocked some Reeboks, though.
So would you say, so you were a track athlete, you were a baller. Like, so were you, when it was track season, were you in Nike spikes? Are you a Nike athlete, like head to toe? What was your thing?
So the way this worked, like I said, I had some shoes here and there, some Jordans and all of that. But we weren't, like, I wasn't raised to where I had, you know, this brand, that brand. It was never like that. Like, my mom, like I said, she handled her business. But I didn't have Nike this and Nike that. I think my one pair of track spikes were Nike. But it wasn't like I went, you know, to the Nike outlet or something like that. We probably found them in, like, a JCPenney or something. You know what I mean? That's just how it was. So I didn't have, you know, those brands, like, I wasn't brand specific because we just couldn't afford that type of stuff.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, but nowadays, I'm living it all over again because my daughter is a track athlete. She actually is. She just went to Junior Olympics last year as an 8-year-old this summer. So everything is Nike. I just bought her 4 pairs Nike spikes. Like, come on. Nike bag, Nike outfit. It's like, but I guess that's what you do when you, you know, you
she got you know, listen, she going before she got to look fresh, mom. You got to, you know,
what I couldn't necessarily do, it's, you know, I try to do for my daughter or whatever, but it creates a monster. So she's very into shoes.
That's an expensive habit for sure. What are her favorite styles aside? Like, I know you said she got Nike spikes, but is she into Jordans as well?
Oh yeah. So I actually had her in the Containers as well, but I had to give her the boot because I ran out of room. So we had to move her to her bedroom. But yeah, she probably has well over, you know, 60, 70 pair of shoes.
Wow.
And it's hard because I buy, like, you know, if she's in a 1, 1.5 now, I buy 2s and 3s as well so that I can keep up. But sometimes she'll get the shoe. She may never touch a pair of the shoes that I got because it's just so many.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, it's kind of overboard, but Listen, I can't help it.
You do what you got to do for your babies, right? It is what it is.
For sure.
So it's funny. So speaking of that, you're kind of, I mean, you started as a sneakerhead when you were young, but you're teaching her sort of the same way. And we started the show talking about just the industry in general and how, you know, for a lot of Black women, there just aren't a lot of Black women in the sneaker business, right? And so what kind of messages do you feel like you're showing her and teaching her as it relates to that? She may not end up being about sneakers for her, maybe something else, but in terms of the importance of if you like something, you're doing it. It don't matter if no one like you is there or what have you.
So it's kind of, I don't know, it's kind of hard for me because I try to show her like the different, I guess I can call them adversities or whatever, you know, as it relates to being a female in the sneaker world or being a Black woman or being a woman on the fire department. There's so many things that I can like teach. My best, I guess, effort is teaching by showing. So it's not really all about, oh, well, no, you'll be okay doing it. No, you can do this. Mommy does this. You can do this, right? I was the only female. It was only 2 females in the chemistry department in my college. We were both African-American. Only 2. I'm one of 47 women on the fire department, like out of 800 and something. Like, and then in the sneaker community, of course, there is a whole bunch of guys. And then, you know, there are a whole bunch of women as well, but every one of them doesn't like to, you know, put themselves out there like that. So taking her to sneaker cons and things like that, I want you to see what we're going to normalize everybody being involved. So I don't know. It's really about showing, you know, versus trying to, you know, put words together and all of that kind of stuff. I just teach by showing. It's best I got.
I love that. I think, you know, as to your point about sneaker cons, like that wasn't something that women used to go to, right? And I think you and I talked about this a little bit in Atlanta, that this is newer. Women have been in the sneaker game for years, but it's almost like we were hidden for a long time, right? Just because of what society thinks of women and sneaker culture and sports, and even the access to different sneakers and sizes. It like wasn't a thing before we started recording, like 5.5, 7, 7.5. Like the colorways didn't go like that, or they looked different. It was a different kind of shoe if it was a kid's size.
Right.
Like, I thought my first pair of 4s were fake because it didn't have the little bump in the midsole. It was just a straight panel. And I was like, did I get duped? What's happening here? And it was a different time. So I'd love to hear you talk more about that and kind of the evolution and what you'd like to see next for women in the game.
So I've been seeing a lot of things happening. I'm not like specifically attached to any like brands or anything like that. But what I do is, like I said, the sneaker events really is a great like starting point, in my opinion, because you have all different types of background, all different types of collectors and, you know, There's some that, you know, may have just started collecting. They're trying to, you know, get their feet wet and learn some things. Then there's some that, you know, they've been in the game forever, right? And everybody just comes together and tries to learn. So I honestly, I want to see a lot more women stepping up. Like, don't be afraid. Like, don't hide. There's nothing for us to hide from. Like, we can buy shoes just like they can. You know what I'm saying? So I'm okay. There's nothing to hide from. Like, don't be shy. Like, I've even asked people, you know, oh, would you mind getting up on stage with me so I can, you know, interview? No, I can't. Why not? Mm-hmm, like, mm-hmm. All we're doing is talking about shoes. If that's a love for you, mm-hmm. We just talking. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Nobody's judging. Like, mm-hmm, it's just mm-hmm. a conversation. That's all it is. So I definitely want to see a lot more women entering into those spaces. We can have female hosts. Right. Yeah. We can have female hosts for sneaker events and things like that. So step up in that aspect. And then as well, like as far as the brands and stuff are going, we don't always have to have a pink shoe. Quite frankly, I have pink, but I don't really like pink like that. My sorority colors are crimson and cream or red and white. I don't have to have pink.
Right.
So, you know, to see women now, you know, it seems like it's more obvious now. You know, those that are fighting for, you know, the extended sizes or, you know, fighting for the different colorways that aren't necessarily, you know, ladylike, as they would say, or things like that. So it's nice to see that stuff happening where they're putting more focus on it. I'm okay with that. That's good. So, yeah, I just want to see them get out more, like, come hang, come chill.
I feel like, you know, when the guys are going after the ladies' pairs, the industry's starting to do something right and catch on that this is.
Yes. Thing. Yes. Mm-hmm. And then we got to fight. Then you got to put the dupes up. What's up?
Even for us, that it's a fight. Always.
That's not for you. But I can't be mad because I'm going to buy if it's my size and I like it.
I'll buy for men's. Yep.
Well, but I mean, it needs to be all sizes, though. Yeah. Come on. Like,
and that's ultimately where you're at, right? Because you're talking about authenticity, Aisha, right? Like, and it's just like, look, if you genuinely like it, doesn't matter if you're a guy, a dude, or if you identify as trans, whatever. None of that actually matters, right? Like,
right.
If you like it, you like it. Like, period. Like, and then we can have a conversation around that. And I think, you know, right. you're looking for the realness, right? More of that and less of the commercial aspect of it, right? I think that's the part that people are looking for, the genuine tie to community, because that's why so many people got into this in the first place. And people who have been super collectors for a long time, you've mentioned, have made like some of their best friends in life off of this stuff, right? Like, so what's it been like for you? Okay, there we go. So what's it been like for you as early? Tell me about some relationships you formed, just, you know, present company, of course, included.
And so, like, no lie. So I've been going to, and I'm specifically talking SneakerCon. I've been to other events, right? But I've been going to sneaker cons, which is like the big event for me, since my daughter was two. I took my daughter or whatever, and she sold her own pair of shoes. She had a pair of Yeezy, Bred Yeezys. I'll never forget it. She had two of them.
Oh, wow.
So she walking around holding hers up in the air and all of that. And there was another little girl that was there, and the little girl's parents was like, oh, you selling this, blah, blah, blah. So she sold. They had their own transaction. We had it on video and all of that type stuff. So it is like, it's definitely refreshing to see. And I just lost my train of thought. Ask me again what you just said.
About friendships you've made, like about the people who...
Oh, friendships. Yeah, so, jeez. Half of the people that I deal with right now in sneakers have either been met on Instagram or not much Twitter. I'm not on there as often. But a lot of, like, actually my best friend I met through Instagram in sneakers. Mm-hmm. Kid you not. Like, it just happens. Yeah. Like, I've met so many different people that are just great people. Mm-hmm. I mean, almost better than the ones that's been around and, you know, it's one of them. Hey, what's up? Like, they treat you so well, and you start to see these faces over and over again, build these relationships. Like I said, I started off going to sneaker cons. Now, hosting panels or, you know, getting interviewed on panels or like in between that, it was me playing basketball for Hoops Classics for SneakerCon. Those are the steps that I've taken, but they all were from building relationships. That's where they all came from. It wasn't like, oh yeah, I see you two times. Oh, hey, what's your name again? No, you start to remember, oh, hey, it's, you know, hey, it's Gabby. Or that's just how it is. It's a whole life.
Yeah.
And some of the greatest people with the same passion. And I'm all for it. I love it.
Awesome.
Absolutely love it.
If there's one thing currently going on in the sneaker game that you could change, what would it be?
Are you trying to start a fight? No,
Listen, I want you to be as real. You can say whatever. Be real, man. That's what we're about here.
If it was one thing in the sneaker game that I could change, what would it be? Something I'm very, very, it's a subject that I'm very passionate about, and I really hate to see it in the sneaker game. And that's competition. I hate it. I don't like it. Like, there is so much room for everybody, right? So much room for everybody. There's enough lanes in this world for everybody to have one. Compete. Why? I talked about this on stage, you know, during panels. There's no reason for competition. It doesn't do anything but create a separation, right? It creates a divide. So for what reason? We all can go and buy whatever shoe we want, whether you got it on release day or whether you paid resale for it, right? It doesn't make one any better than the other. You might have a couple plugs here and there. We all can do the same thing. Like, I joke about it, but I'm serious. Can't we all just get along? But no, because so-and-so want to be mad because you post too much on Instagram. Or, like, I don't, I hate to see it, and I wish it would change. But until we become more inclusive as a community, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. And I try to do that. Like, I preach about, you know, showing love, or, you know, it costs nothing to repost.
Just right? Nothing.
You don't have to go in your pocket to repost.
Takes less than a second.
But there are people that just will not do that for their own, you know, personal reasons or whatever. And that's just how, like I said, things just become separated. And then there's a group here, a group here, you know, it just becomes too much. And then people don't want to be involved. So competition, let's not compete. Let's come together. Because think about the force we could be if we all took all of our individualities together and made like this big old, massive masterpiece. But that's just one thing that bothers me on a daily basis. And I just wish it would change. But until we, you know, change our mindsets, it's never going to, you know what I'm saying? It's never going to work. So
We could talk for 2 more hours just on that. But folks, we don't got time for that, because coming up next is America's favorite segment, Shoe and Tell, presented by Another Lane. And I have a feeling, I don't know what she's going to show us, but I have a feeling Miss Jones is going to have some fire kicks for us to see. So stay tuned.
I don't know.
Hey, y'all, we are back, and you know what time it is. America's favorite segment, Shoe and Tell, presented by Another Lane. I just talked about Chad and Adina Jones, the founders of AnotherLane.com, our friends. They are doing good work over there. You guys, head over to AnotherLane.com. You want to sell shoes. You don't want to worry about seller fees. You want to find that rare pair. You want to talk to the sneaker god himself, Chad Jones, Sneaker Galactus. Anybody that's got a name, Sneaker Galactus, you know they know a thing or two about sneakers. And Chad knows more than a thing or two. He knows about a thing or like 2 million about sneakers. You want to find that like crazy pair, rare pair you can't find nowhere? I bet you Chad can find it. Go check him out. Make sure you guys head over there, and they'll take care of you. All right, Aisha Leap. So when we do this Shoe and Tell, it's really your show. You show us the shoes. Tell us why they're important to you.
All right. So I'm going to start off with a pair of shoes that is very important to me, because I am from Cincinnati, Ohio, and you know, it's basically something that just represents me and my city. You know, I should say my city. It represents my city, not me. But my city. But I do have the Nasty Boy Dunks.
Oh.
Okay. So
came in hot.
And right now they are on ice. They've been on ice since they came out. I think it was 2015. I'm scared to wear them because I really don't want to mess them up. Because this is like my, you know, this is just the city thing.
They're in perfect condition.
Yeah, they look great.
Yes. So and you see it says Nasty Boys on the back, has the flag on the other side. So yeah, my Nasty Boy Dunks represents my city, and you know, the old baseball team or whatever. And it also came from a local store here called Unheard Of. They did a collab or whatever. And so, yes, so these are my very first pair that I wanted to show.
Shout out to the Cincinnati Reds, right? Shout out to the Cincinnati Reds.
Absolutely.
Rob Dibble et al, the Nasty Boys.
All of them. You know all about it, right?
Shout out to
the Nasty Boys. And this shoe is just like, it's perfectly put together. The colorway, like everything about this shoe is just amazing. And I was happy to be able to get a pair. You know, most dunks started like, well, now it's a little different, but started like a size 6. Mm-hmm. So I was like, I don't care if I had a whole bunch of room left. We're going to stuff them. I'm going to wear these one day. This is in my collection. It's a great, one of my favorite pairs. So shout out to Unheard of for those. The next pair that I want to show actually is from an event that I went to. Everybody knows about Complex Con and how much of a madhouse that is, right? So I got pushed up against the barricade. I got my ribs broken.
Jeez.
But I was out there trying to get shoes like everybody else. So you mad rush, I'm running too. We all running. So, but this particular year, they did the stashes, right? They did a whole bunch of the stashes. Mm-hmm. And one of the pairs that they got rid of was the Mr. Stash Air Force One. Yeah. And I actually wore this to one of the sneaker cons, but it is, nice. It's hard to see because of the lighting, but it is mostly 3M.
Yep.
There is a little bit of, you know, the detailing all around the shoe or whatever. And then, of course, on the bottom, it has Mr. Stash's signature.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really excited about these because the Mr. Stash, like the stash itself, I ran outside, ran to the little spot. It's like a scavenger hunter almost.
100%.
You got to find a little. Yeah. So you got to find a little, the paper that's up on the wall or wherever it is, scan it with your phone, do all this other stuff. And then it says you got them. So when I got them, I'm thinking we had to go pay for them. They were free.
Got them alert, but that sounds amazing.
They were free. So I was shocked. I'm like, I feel like they didn't get my money. Like something happened, but yeah, so we didn't have to pay for these, but I ended up with two pair of these that year. And I just love them. It's different. You know, it's not necessarily a Jordan, but definitely a dope pair of kicks. And it was a dope event as well. So shout out to Complex. My ribs are all intact. they are. This next pair that I'm going to show real quick is just, honestly, it's a great pair. The way that I got this shoe is how I wanted to, you know, why it was special to me. And the fact that I'll never be able to wear it because it's not my size, but I was able to get a pair, right?
Mm.
So I got a phone call from a good friend and, you know, he wanted to let me know that he was able to get me on like the friends and family list for the trophy room. Oh. And so I was able to cop a pair of, you know, the trophy room ones, which...
Oh, what size are those, by any chance?
Try to keep quiet during the segment, but
I can't see. I don't know. I can't see.
Yeah, yeah.
I can't see. No, so this is a size 9.5. I wish it were a 7 at least, because I would have acted like I can wear it or something. But no, it's a 9.5, and I was just honored, and you know, I just appreciated the fact that I was able to get a pair. They didn't come in my size, didn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
But however, this will forever be on ice. It's going to be, you know, put up in, you know, a glass case or whatever. And it's just, and of course, I got the blue laces, and I don't know. It's just a dope pair. So shout out to the homie for hooking a sister up. I really was honored, and I felt special that I was able to get these because there was so much controversy around them.
So much.
I have a pair and they will just forever stay on ice, unfortunately. I wish I could wear them because I'd probably run them things down to the ground.
Because they're fly, man. That's a fly
pair. They are, and they're Jordan 1s. Like, you can't beat that.
Mm-hmm.
I love Jordan 1s. I have over 100 pair of Jordan 1s. Like, I just love them. So, and last but not least, this pair is near and dear to my heart. I talk about it probably everywhere I go. But it is the Amma Manier 3s.
Oh.
I was going to say the 1s. I just got the 1s too, but no, the 3s.
I love the Amma Manier. That's such a great shoe.
Eager of the year.
So Singer of the Year. Mm-hmm. Don't at me. Don't, no, I'm just kidding. No, yes, definitely Singer of the Year.
It is. It is Singer of the Year for sure.
So the way that I obtained this shoe is just insane. So the video came out. James Whitner had posted it. I looked at it, and it was probably one of the first times that I actually paid attention to a video surrounding a shoe. And I was floored. Like, I felt like I needed to talk to somebody. Like, I had lost it for a second. Like, I was excited. Like, oh, my God, for strong women. What? Like, I do. You know what I'm saying? All these different adversities in life and things like that that I'm going through mentally and physically. Like, I need that shoe. And I don't even have a pair of threes. Never had a pair of threes. Mm. So I posted my little, you know, my firefighter picture up real quick and tagged James and said, listen, even if I never get the shoe, this shoe, the story, yeah, hits home. It means everything to me. Thank you so much for using your platform, you know, to show and display strong women, right? So he reposted it. I was like, oh, that's dope. You know, he reposted it. That's what's up. Mm-hmm. And after he reposted it, I sent him a message. I said, man, you have no idea like how much this means to me. Just the fact that you reposted the picture. You know, I fight fires. I do this. I do that. But I'm raising my daughter. And it's just so much surrounding your story that hit home to me that I felt like the moment I put my foot in this shoe, I was a walking testimony of what this shoe was actually mm-hmm. about. Mm-hmm. So he sent me a message. Now, the message said, send me your shoe size, name, and shipping address. And I was like, okay, this is a joke.
Right. You're like, whatever.
Are we sure this was James? So I reached out to my buddy up in New York, Mayor. Everybody knows Mayor, right? Mm-hmm. I said, Mayor, is this James Whitner's account? Because he talking to me. Like, I don't know if this is really his account. So he told me to send it to him, and I sent it to him. He was like, yeah, that's him. So I was like, all right, I'm just going to go out on a limb. Mm-hmm. I'm going to see, you know, what happened. I said, oh, my God, you got to be kidding, whatever, whatever. I sent my name, my shipping address. I sent my size. Not even 2 days later, this shoe showed up at my doorstep.
Wow.
I love
first that pair of shoes I've ever been gifted, right? And to be gifted from, you know what I'm saying, the man, the creative behind this whole, like, masterpiece. Like,
yeah, no, that's...
And listen, this shoe, I did end up getting two of them, though. I bought a second
one. Yeah, that's how much you love it.
I love it that much. And it was my first pair of threes. I probably have about at least five or six pair of threes now. I just reached back like, oh, I need to get them. I need that colorway. But yeah, I never wore threes. But this shoe is a daily reminder for me. Like, you know, just alone on the shoestrings, work harder. Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. I have no choice with my everyday life. I mm-hmm. have to. Mm-hmm. Like, there is no such thing as not being capable or not being able to. I have to do what I have to do. And this shoe, I ain't gonna lie, it had me in tears. I did a video on it and I couldn't even get through it because of even now I'm still goosebumps because it means so much and it's the little things.
Yeah. Yeah.
I would have paid for the shoe, but just the fact that he felt that I deserved the mm-hmm. pair for whatever the reason was. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It'll never leave. Like, I've worn it several times. I got another pair just in a box, like in the little glass. Yeah. It's over here in the glass case. It is never going to probably get touched. But, you know, shout out to James. This shoe, really, like everything about it, you have to get comfortable walking alone. I was dealing with some personal things in my life that it was just like, hey, you know, you have to get comfortable with these things. You have to normalize these things. It's time to step up and move on. Like, mm-hmm. and people just don't understand. Like, it means so much to me. So those are the pairs that I have.
Love it, man.
And they all have stories. And I'm they glad do. I got through this without crying.
No, we love it. This is the part that we're talking about, though, right? It's the realness and the authenticity, because it's not about for you the commercial aspect of it, or just a new release is coming out. Let me hoard a bunch of pairs and then go get them on and then resell. Right. That's not it. Right. I mean, in your voice without the tears, I didn't need the tears. I could feel it coming from you just talking about it. Right. That's what matters though. And that's what we're looking to get from. That was a great little shoe and tell. Good job. Aisha, let the people know where they can find you, man. If they want to follow what you're doing, hear more about your story, see your videos.
You can find me on Instagram. You can find me also on Twitter and TikTok. My handle is the same. It's Mrs. Jones Kicks with a Z. So MRSJONESKICKZ. Any of those platforms you can find me. And please follow. I'll follow back.
Love it. Love it. And we really appreciate having you on the show. Thank you so much. And folks, you know where to find us. We are part of the Bomb and Count the Dings family. You can find us there with the original Bomb Show, Woke Bros, Growing Up the Same, Rap Names, and of course, us, Kicks and Shit Show. We are at Kicks and Shit Show on all social media platforms. And until next time, peace.
Thank y'all so much. Peace.
Thank you. Thank you.